Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, Numbers 19-96. M.R., Number 45. Statements on the Latter Rain. Release requested for use in connection with Latter Rain statements in printed report of Ministerial Council. The time has come when we must expect the Lord to do great things for us. Our efforts must not flag or weaken. We are to grow in grace and in a knowledge of the Lord. Before the work is closed up and the sealing of God's people is finished, we shall have the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Angels from heaven will be in our midst. The present is the fitting up time for heaven, when we each must walk in full obedience to all the commandments of God. Letter 30, 1907, pages 2, 3. To Mr. Falkhead, February 5, 1907. I know that a work must be done for the people, or many will not be prepared to receive the light of the angel sent down from heaven to lighten the whole earth with his glory. Do not think that you will be found as vessels unto honor in the time of the latter rain to receive the glory of God, if you are lifting up your souls unto vanity, speaking perverse things, in secret, cherishing roots of bitterness brought from the conference at Minneapolis. The frown of God will certainly be upon every soul who cherishes and nurtures these roots of dissension, and possesses a spirit so unlike the Spirit of Christ. Letter 24, 1889, page 4. To the General Conference, circa 1889. Brethren, we have little time in which to work. Certainly, we need to stop complaining about each other and lay our whole hearts open before God that we may receive the Holy Spirit. Years ago, the time came for the Holy Spirit to descend in a special manner upon God's earnest, self-sacrificing workers. The Lord will greatly bless His tried and chosen ones if they will cooperate with Him. When the Holy Spirit came down in the day of Pentecost, it was like a rushing, mighty wind. It was given in no stinted measure, for it filled all the place where the disciples were sitting. So will it be given to us when our hearts are prepared to receive it. For, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Malachi 4, verse 1, 2. Here are brought plainly to view those who will be vessels unto honor, for they will receive the latter rain. Every soul who, in the light now shining upon our pathway, continues in sin will be blinded and will accept the delusions that come from Satan. We are now nearing the close of this earth's history. Where are the faithful watchmen on the walls of Zion who will not slumber, but faithfully declare the time of night? Christ is coming to be admired in all them that believe. How painful it is to contemplate that the Lord Jesus is being kept in the background. How few magnify His grace and exalt His infinite compassion and love. There will be no envy, no jealousy, in the hearts of those who are seeking to be like Jesus in character. Letter 15, 1892, page 5. To Elder Haskell, June 25, 1892. Under the showers of the latter rain, the inventions of man, the human machinery, will at times be swept away. The boundary of man's authority will be as broken reeds, and the Holy Spirit will speak through the living human agent with convincing power. No one then will watch to see if the sentences are well rounded off, if the grammar is faultless. The living water will flow in God's own channels. But let us be careful now not to exalt men, their sayings and doings. And let not anyone consider it a grand point to have a startling experience to relate. For here is a fruitful field where credence will be given to unworthy persons. Letter 102, 1894, page 4. To James Edson and Emma White, February 6, 1894. Every truly converted soul will be intensely desirous to bring others from the darkness of error into the marvelous light of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The great outpouring of the Spirit of God, which lightens the whole earth with His glory, will not come until we have an enlightened people who know by experience what it means to be laborers together with God. When we have entire, wholehearted consecration to the service of Christ, God will recognize the fact by an outpouring of His Spirit without measure. But this will not be while the largest portion of the church are not laborers together with God. God cannot pour out His Spirit when selfishness and self-indulgence is so manifest, when a spirit prevails that, if put into words, would express that answer of Cain, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Letter 31, 1894, page 11. To Mr. Harper, September 23, 1894.
We cannot exert a correct influence when we are under a cloud of anxiety and depression. We must reach out the hand of faith and grasp the hand of our Redeemer. We must not wait for the latter rain. It is coming upon all who will recognize and appropriate the dew and showers of grace that fall upon us. When we gather up the fragments of light, when we appreciate the sure mercies of God, who loves to have us trust Him, then every promise will be fulfilled. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Isaiah 61, verse 11. Letter 151, 1897, pages 1, 2. To James Edson and Emma White, August 29, 1897. When the laborers have an abiding Christ in their own souls, when all selfishness is dead, when there is no rivalry, no strife for the supremacy, when oneness exists, when they sanctify themselves so that love for one another is seen and felt, then the showers of the grace of the Holy Spirit will just as surely come upon them as that God's promise will never fail in one jot or tittle. But when the work of others is discounted, that the workers may show their own superiority, they prove that their own work does not bear the signature it should, God cannot bless them. A most solemn responsibility rests on me to say to you, your only hope is in God. Before giving us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father will try us to see if we can live without dishonoring Him. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Do not think, my children, that you have received all the spiritual help you need. And do not think that you can have great spiritual blessings without complying with the conditions God Himself has laid down. James and John thought that for the asking, they could have the highest place in the kingdom of God. Oh, how far short they fell of understanding the situation! They did not realize that before they could share Christ's glory, they must wear His yoke and daily learn His meekness and lowliness. Letter 22, 1902, pages 8, 9. To James Edson and Emma White, February 1, 1902. Christ used the wind as a symbol of the Spirit of God. As the wind bloweth whither it listeth, and we cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so it is with the Spirit of God. We do not know through whom it will be manifested. But I speak not my own words when I say that God's Spirit will pass by those who have had their day of test and opportunity, but who have not distinguished the voice of God or appreciated the movings of His Spirit. Then thousands in the 11th hour will see and acknowledge the truth. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. Amos 9, verse 13. These conversions to truth will be made with a rapidity that will surprise the church, and God's name alone will be glorified. Letter 43, 1890, page 5. To Brother Olson, December 15, 1890. If all those that handle the Word of God, ministering to the people, will cleanse their hearts from all iniquity and all defilement, and shall come to God with clean purpose of heart, as little children, they shall see of the salvation of God. Jesus will walk in our midst. We have now the invitations of mercy to become vessels unto honor, and then we need not worry about the latter rain. All we have to do is to keep the vessel clean and prepared and right side up for the reception of the heavenly rain and keep praying, "Let the latter rain come into my vessel. Let the light of the glorious angel which unites with the third angel shine upon me. Give me a part in the work. Let me sound the proclamation. Let me be co-laborer with Jesus Christ." Thus seeking God, let me tell you, He is fitting you up all the time, giving you His grace. You need not be worried. You need not be thinking that there is a special time coming when you are to be crucified. The time to be crucified is just now. Every day, every hour, self is to die. Self is to be crucified, and then, when the time comes that the test shall come to God's people in earnest, the everlasting arms are around you. The angels of God make a wall of fire around about and deliver you. All your self-crucifixion will not do any good then. It must come before the destiny of souls is decided. It is now that self is to be crucified, when there is work to do, when there is some use to be made of every entrusted capability. It is now that we are to empty and thoroughly cleanse the vessel of its impurity. It is now that we are to be made holy unto God. This is our work, this very moment. You are not to wait for any special period for a wonderful work to be done. It is today. I give myself to God today. 35, 1891, 16, 17. Work and baptism of Holy Spirit needed. September 26, 1891.
The Lord calls for united action. Well-organized efforts must be made to secure laborers. There are poor, honest, humble souls whom the Lord will put in your places, who have never had the opportunities you have had, and could not, because you were not worked by the Holy Spirit. We may be sure that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, those who did not receive and appreciate the early rain will not see or understand the value of the latter rain. When we are truly consecrated to God, His love will abide in our hearts by faith, and we will cheerfully do our duty in accordance with the will of God. Letter 8, 1896, page 9. To my brethren in America, February 6, 1896. When the third angel's message shall go forth with a loud voice, the whole earth shall be lightened with his glory. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon his people. The revenue of glory has been accumulating for this closing work of the third angel's message. The prayers that have been ascending for the fulfillment of the promise, the descent of the Holy Spirit, not one has been lost. Each prayer has been accumulating, ready to overflow and pour forth a healing flood of heavenly influence and accumulated light all over the world. Letter 96A, 1899, page 2.
To Sister Henry, July 19, 1899. White Estate, Washington, D.C., August 30, 1950.